systems go. Prepare for countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Blast off to adventure in the amazing year 400 billion.
Obscene, dirty, filthy, immoral.
What are you people? On dope?
Kaboom! Hello and welcome to the Jam Hole. Today is Monday, October 12th, 2009. And my name is Matt.
And my name is Danny.
And thank you guys so much for being with us. This is episode number 257 of the Jam Hole Free Comedy Podcast, coming from to you, from you, in you, beautiful Montana Kalispell cold fuck.
Montana Kalispell?
Take two. No, it's
fine. I'm so confused.
I am too. How are you doing?
I'm cold.
Are you still sick?
A little.
Fantastic.
I just took my last bit of medication today, last of my zithromycin.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No more evil bacterias running around?
I hope not. Well, I'm almost out of my cough syrup.
if you guys are listening live, of course, thejamhole.com/feedback, type shit, I'll read, or give us a call, 406-244-4687. What you maybe need to do is go see a homeopath.
No.
For your cures.
Somebody was like, oh, you should try this mixed with Airborne and that. I'm like,
Airborne!
No, I was like, no, dude, I don't do that.
I'm on the Quack Watch list for health fraud stuff, so I get all those emails. And I just read one earlier today that says some company bought the company that made Airborne, which is weird because they got the holy fucking shit sued out of them because they were making claims that they did not, like, it didn't do. They were like, you know, take this and it cures this, this, and this. And it didn't do that. So they got a big class action lawsuit, even though I still see it here in stores and stuff. But yeah, it was interesting to me because, like, being a company, your goal is to make profits. Why would you buy a company whose
main... That's already been sued.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's like going... I don't know. It's
You're going
weird.
In reverse, dude. It's like... Step backwards.
You want to buy a fucking company that just went bankrupt. You know, it seems very redundant to me. Like, what, you're not going to do anything. The only thing I could think of is that they're going to remarket it, not make the claims, and just sell it as a bullshit homeopathic remedy.
Yeah.
Because that's the only reason they got sued. You can still have it on the shelves. You just can't say that it does this when it does not. And even though, you know, they get around the FDA because they market it as a supplement, not as an actual drug that's been tested and all that. So it's stupid. But speaking about the whole homeopath thing, I just want to get into this real quick before we move on with the show. You know that place I always tell you guys about that I deliver to, and they always take like 5 or 6 jugs. And it's, you know, you walk in and it's got all the jars of the different herbs and shit. And the guy has his box with the dials.
Yeah.
And so usually the last time I talked about this was I had mentioned that there was a family in there with their kids running around and they're in my way and I'm like tripping over them carrying water and shit.
Uh-huh.
Well, every time I go in there, there's always people in there. I've never been in there when it was empty. Today I went in there and there was no one else in there except the guy. So I'm like,
really?
Huh. I'm going to talk to him for a minute. So I start asking him about his machine and this and that. And I got the down low on what this machine does. This is so amazing. And I didn't even know this. Like, I knew that it was bullshit, but I didn't know how it worked, you know? What this is a quarter-inch plug, an audio cable, quarter-inch, plugs into the big jack.
Yeah.
Not the 3-pin XLR, but the quarter-inch. So that's plugged into the machine, and the other end of it is just a plug. It's like a bare plug that you would plug into a mixer or something. And the person, the patient holds on to that plug. And from the person holding on, this blew my mind. And I'm looking at him, and he's like so serious. And I'm like, oh, that's so interesting. Like totally playing the part, like I'm so interested in this. The person goes in and sits down. They hold on to the plug, which is plugged into this empty box with dials on it. He manipulates the dials on the machine, And then he has a list, a piece of paper that has all these different known pathogens, different diseases, cancers, all these things. I wish I would have had a copy of it, of the list, so I could read you guys exactly what's on there. And I'm thinking I'm going to go in there undercover if maybe I get for my birthday at thinkgeek.com the pinhole camera. But even if I don't, I still want to do this. I want to go in and have a session with this guy.
Oh, God.
But so just to get that list, because there's a ton of shit on this list, dude. Like a full 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, three columns. Each line is a different thing, a disease or a pathogen or a bacteria or a virus. Mm-hmm. And so while you're sitting there holding on to this plug, he's manipulating the dials, making you think that he's doing stuff. And then he checks on his list what you have. And so I'm like, well, how does he
judge your reaction?
I'm like, how does that work? How do you know that? And he said, I wrote it down here. He can test for different parasites and diseases based on the energy they give off. So apparently every bacteria, every pathogen, virus, cancer, it all gives off a different electrical pulse
or
whatever.
We should go to him. And see if we have anything.
That's what I want to do. See, you're on the same wavelength. I wanted to go there and make up something and then see what he says. Or go in there and be like, I'm just not feeling well, and see what he says I have. If he's like, oh, you have a liver fluke. I'll be like, nah, I got you, bitch. I'm healthy. Ha!
I just went to a real doctor, bitch.
Yeah, I got a clean bill of health. You lied. And then I'll sue the pants off him. But I don't know, that blew my mind. So then I'm like, do you get positive results? And he says to me, quote, I must or I wouldn't be in business. Like, you wow. Motherfucker, you taking advantage of all these poor fucking people that don't know what to do. They've gone through normal medicine and there's no hope or whatever, or they just went to the homeopathy doctor and he's like, yeah, you have this, this, and this. Then he goes to his little chart, sees what you have, marks the checklist. Then he goes to his, you know, cabinet of all the herbs and stuff. And this thing, it's like a library in there. Shelves lined with big jars of herbs and different things and tinctures and stuff. And so he mixes you up a tincture depending on what electricity you're giving off, and the only reason that shows up is that, you know, a quarter inch jack, if you're touching it, stuff will happen. You can see a pulse, like when we plug it into the mixer, if I tap on one end, you'll see levels on the recording program.
Yeah, I know that.
It's all electrical impulse. So he does that, and then he makes a bullshit tincture, which is basically the water I'm bringing him. 5 gallon jugs for $5.50 a piece. He's turning around and selling little vials of like 2, 3, 4 cc's for like $25, $30, $40, $50, dude. Mm-hmm. You are robbing people, dude. You are totally taking advantage of people and you're robbing them. You are no better than a thief, and that's fucked up that he can do a business like that.
We should do that.
He's stealing money.
You're not gonna steal some money.
You're not providing any, except for the placebo effect. I apologize. You are possibly giving these people a positive frame of mind, which does help. It's a placebo effect, and that's it. But, dude, you are ripping these people off, and that's fucked up, and that pisses me off so much. And he is just, like, so smug about it. Like, oh, it must be good because I have business. I'm like, no, you're a fucking liar, and you're taking advantage of people that have no hope. You're no better than a fucking religion that does the same thing.
True.
I'm so pissed about it. But I'm glad. I wanted so bad to just be like, so, what's in this box? And just flip it upside down and see that there's nothing
in it. There's absolutely nothing.
It's magic. It's all magic. So, I don't know. I thought that was interesting because I never got a chance to actually talk to him about it. He makes tinctures depending on what energy is found. What a bunch of fucking bullshit. MDS says he can't even bother to put two separate sensors on you. Just hold the quarter-inch plug with both contacts together. No, one contact on that, and the other end is plugged into the box. That's as BS as it gets, MDS says. And yes, Rotto Toys, he says, check out Universe of Mystery. I actually been listening to that. I enjoy it. You do a good job, sir. Good job. So, I guess while we're talking about medicine and stuff, you know how a few episodes ago we were talking about the new OxyContin formulation?
Uh-huh.
They are through the beginning trials or whatever, and now they're going to start making it. Do you know what Purdue is doing to make their Oxy more junkie-proof?
What?
It's not what I said before. It might be, but on top of maybe making a formula that when you put water on it, so you crush it up, you put water on it, it gels up. Instead of doing that, the new proposed version of the drug will be harder to crush and therefore more difficult to abuse.
Are you serious?
Wow, Purdue Pharma! Hey,
they'll find a way to crush it, you dumbass.
Let me introduce your pill to my friend, the Hammer.
No shit.
You can make that thing as hard as you possibly can. You can make it hard to the point where my body won't even fucking break it down inside, and I'll poop out the pill. People will crush.
I will find a way to crush it.
People will crush that shit. That's... You have billions of dollars to pour into research to make your opiate junkie-proof, and the only thing you can come up with is, oh, well, we're going to make it harder to crush because people are crushing it, so we'll make it harder to crush. You're a fucking retard, Purdue Pharma. Are you kidding me? That's your great fucking... And, oh, FDAs, they're like, oh, okay, yeah, that sounds good. No problem there. Right. Unbelievable, right? It blows my mind. The Stanford-based company is working with the FDA to develop a new version of its popular and controversial pain medication. Purdue has met with the Joint FDA Advisory Committee to discuss its new drug application for OxyContin tablets with harder shells. Melts in your mouth, not in your hand. Huh.
So, just do like we did with the, the hell you want to call them, time-release capsules, and I bet you can just fucking rub it off.
Same thing, dude. Same thing, except it's harder to crush. So, yeah, apply more force. Like that.
I wonder if it's going to be through the whole pill or if it's going to be like a like the time seal
a capsule
gel on
no,
the outside.
It'll still be a pill, I would imagine.
Well, no. You know how OxyContin's now, they have the time release, right? And you have to suck off the time
That's
release
not
or rinse
the
it off. I thought that was a time
That's
release.
That's not the time release, dude.
What is that?
That's just the coating. All pills have a coating. All
right, well, either way.
The
it's
time
a
release
coating.
Is in the pill itself. Oh. When you crush it up, you break up that time release, and then you get it all at once. The time release is in the pill itself.
Sorry,
junkie. No, I'm just saying. I don't want to be like the Big Mouse podcast and start, you know, spouting off bullshit that I know nothing about, you know?
And, well, obviously you know a lot about this.
Well, yeah, I've studied it for like 10 years, okay? I know a little bit about it.
But anyway.
Nacho says people drive thousands of miles just to go to Florida and get oxys because they can't in their own state. Like, they won't find a way to crush them.
That's right?
I know,
that's
dude.
So true.
It blows my mind. Like, this was your great breakthrough. How many billions of dollars did you spend on that part, Purdue? Unbelievable.
Too much.
OxyContin is listed as Schedule 2 controlled substance, of course, with an abuse potential similar to morphine. It became vernacularly known as hillbilly heroin for its potency and rural popularity and hooked, among others, the conservative commentator Rush Limbaugh. The new proposed version of the drug will be harder to crush, of course. According to Purdue, broken, chewed, or crushed tablets lead to rapid release and absorption of doses of oxycodone, a common method for abuse that could be potentially fatal. Because the new formulation has not yet been approved by the FDA, Purdue could not make any further statements regarding the new version. First-generation OxyContin tablets have been and remain available by prescription from licensed professionals. The tablets were approved by the FDA in 95. According to Stewart, the tablets are prescribed for the management of moderate to severe pain when a continuous around-the-clock painkiller is needed for an extended period of time. That's awesome. We're going to make it harder to crush. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. You're all fired. You're all fucking fired. Die.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I don't even have anything to say to that. Junkies are still going to do whatever
billion,
they want to do.
Billions of dollars goes into research and development, and we'll make it harder to cry. That's so fucking stupid. Oh, fuck. So, I guess real quick, while we're mentioning Josh from Big Mouse Podcast, I have to mention something. Josh, listen to me. PC versus Apple, okay? You have your Apple fanboys, you have your PC fanboys, whatever. Mm-hmm. We do our whole show, everything, editing, graphics, web design, everything we do on PCs. How many episodes have we lost because
one.
Of computer problems?
One.
One?
One.
And how many, what are we up to?
And
257.
We replaced it with another one.
What's that?
We replaced it with another one.
Oh, right. So we actually...
We didn't even lose one.
It was a good episode, though. I was pissed about that.
Yeah.
But now, during his show, he's going for best produced.
Uh-huh.
Shit's crashing. Uh-huh. Shit's breaking. Oh, that's the PC for you. Dude, that's called user error. Learn how to use your computer and take care of it, and no problems. I'm using... To read my shit on, dude, I'm using a fucking 6-year-old Chromebook laptop with a broken screen running the same Windows XP version it came with. Never had a problem with it. Never once. That computer, I built and put a hack copy, allegedly, of XP on it. Never had a problem with it. Vio, Vista, tablet, Vista, no problems. I don't get it. What's the matter, dude? What's wrong? And Red Fox, he says, and then he calls me out as if I have something to do with it. I know, dude, and that pisses me off. I mean, we're all joking here, but seriously, dude, it's not your computer. It's you. That's what my whole... I used to do computer stuff, so I have a computer background, and I always understood it to be that people that used Apples were not technologically inclined. They just needed a computer that worked. People that use PCs know what they're doing, and they can know enough to keep them running smoothly and not have problems like us. They mm-hmm. all do the same shit. Anything you can do on your Apple, I can do on my PCs, dude. You spent way more fucking money than I did. Way. Oh, your yeah. Apple is this Vio and this tablet PC and probably half of that desktop that I built for like $600. That's all it is, dude. You're paying $3,000 for an Apple logo. And you know what that gets you? That gets you hit on by gay guys when you're in public with your computer. Because gay people use Apple. I'm just saying. And of course, if I could afford it, I would love to have a fucking G5 to back up shit on. And it would be cool to have just to play with. Because, you know, I haven't played with them that much. But, dude, for the amount of money and the amount of bitching you do, just fucking... Fix your shit, get Windows for Dummies or whatever for Dummies book you need, and go with it. Don't blame it on your computer. Blame it on yourself. And another thing, dude, when I say this... What?
Do it.
When I say this, I speak for all skeptics. You're making people sound stupid, Josh. When you talk about stuff scientifically, do some research first. Maybe make some notes. See, I make notes. So that I know what I'm going to talk about. I don't get stoned right before the show. I'm not getting stoned at all today because I'm all out of weed. But, like, seriously, dude, you talk about some of this stuff, and I know it comes from a good place. I know it does. But, dude, you sound so ignorant. It's so ignorant.
Butchers it.
Stop being ignorant,
it's
guys.
It's not...
You just don't... You,
he doesn't
you
research
know,
it enough beforehand.
He,
or
what it is...
just, like, read it over once and...
That's
you know,
not even it, though.
He just gets stoned right before the show. That's
that has a little to do with it, but what he does is he hears something on the Skeptic's Guide or on Science Talk or Astronomy Cast or whatever he's listening to, and then he's like, yeah! And then when it comes time to spit it back out, it comes
all
out...
all jumbled.
All jumbled. He regurgitates it way wrong. So, and Nikki... I don't believe
Nikki.
In evidence. I don't believe in science. Okay,
you,
Nikki.
I don't know.
Okay. I'm not even going to fucking try.
How do you not believe in evidence?
I don't believe
can
in
you,
evidence.
Can you just explain
hey,
that to me?
That's my belief system. I don't have to believe in evidence.
Well, it's evident that you're an idiot.
I can't stand her. I'm
neither
sorry.
Can
I believe in rainbows.
I guarantee you she's probably a really nice person.
Oh, I'm
you
sure.
Know, I'm sure that she means well and everything. Just everything that comes out of her mouth.
And
I just can't
what
agree
really,
with or listen to.
What really bugs me, again, going back to the podcast awards, you're going for best produce. When the host plays your intro music, don't sit there and be like, I don't like this song. Can you stop doing that? Can you turn off?
Yeah.
Just shut your fucking mouth, say your stupid weird shit of the week, and move on.
Exactly.
That's all.
If you
I don't
be
believe.
Be a part of the podcast. Be a part of the podcast. Don't drag it down.
If you're not going to do it, then don't do it. That's all.
Exactly. I can't believe she said she's like, I don't know if I can be here every Thursday and Sunday. Okay,
oh,
I
God.
Have a life.
2 days
a
week.
It's 2 days a week for one hour at a time, maybe.
2 hours a week.
Two hours, yeah.
I don't believe in evidence. I believe in magic and rainbows. Okay, Nikki. Okay.
Well, I believe in rainbows, too. They're there.
Right.
But not... Yeah.
Not unicorns and not magic. Come on, dude. So just do us a favor, dude. I understand, like I said.
I wonder if she believes in like Adam and Eve and all that. I wonder if she believes in evolution.
I don't believe
in
creation. I don't believe in evolution. I don't believe in anything. I believe in myself and in nature and in the earth and in energy. Okay. Go to a homeopath and make a remedy for that.
And get sued.
Can you have a remedy for ignorance?
Only if she believes in it.
Okay. And like I said, I know it comes from a good place, dude, and you're trying to get the information out just like we're trying to do, just like the skeptics are trying to do. But, dude, you don't butcher it that bad, dude. You're killing it. You're killing it so awfully bad. Do some research.
He's going to hate you for this, by the way.
Huh?
He's going to hate you for this.
Well, that's fine. Someone has to tell him, dude. Someone's got to do it. And... I don't know.
You can't go for best produced podcast when all you're trying to spit out facts, but you're spitting out random jumbled up words with co-hosts that don't give a shit about your show.
And
you
I love
go
the
for
kid.
Best produced
he's
when that
he's
happens.
A great guy. The show is amusing as hell. I love the Big Mouse podcast.
When it actually runs correctly.
But it kills me, dude. I'm
but
sitting
lately,
there
when I listen to it, it just seems like all the like, you know, Nikki just doesn't give a shit about this show.
And then
you
know, Josh is regurgitating things he's heard on other shows. And then that's
really
it.
It's really sad. It's
and,
like it yeah, used to dude. Be really good. I used to listen to it every day.
Oh, I still
know,
do.
Every episode, I mean. And it just lately it's like his co-hosts don't care. They don't bring
Joe
shit
does.
To the table. Yeah,
Joe does. He's into it. But
that's about it, though, seriously.
Yeah, and I just, when he starts talking about scientific stuff, I just cringe because he gets it wrong, and I'm like, dude, you're not helping. You're not helping. But, and like I said, don't take this the wrong way, dude. I know it comes from a good place. Just do some research, man. It takes 5 minutes to look up something, make a few notes, and that's it. That's all. Yeah. Or if you need to... Record the clip that the skeptics guy was talking about and just play that.
And then comment off of it.
Just play. Exactly. Just do that. So
if you're too stoned to actually spit out the right words.
Don't be retarded when it comes to the Apple and the PC thing. And that's all. Guitar Hero Dave says, are you going to bash other shows or talk about else? What? That's all. I just had to say that because it's been bugging me for a while and I'm sorry, so... That's
well,
all.
I do like Josh very much. He's very funny and everything, but shape up your show, dude.
That's all. So I spent the whole weekend pretty much.
Pretty much all day yesterday for about 8 hours straight.
On the jamhole.com/store. If you go there now, you'll notice we have an actual store, so you don't have to just donate money and be like, I want this in the notes. You can actually click the thing, add it to your cart, and check out. I have to say, McNally, KeithCourage.com, you did an amazing job on our 250th episode video, dude. I was in tears watching that. And I have to say, MDS downloaded it. Everything worked good from our site. It's up on Lulu.com. Also, if you go to Lulu.com/thejamhole, you can get it there from them for $6.25. $5 for us, $1.25 for them. Or, if you want, you can get it from thejamhole.com/250 for $5. So, all
just
I'm saying,
$5.
I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to figure out our shopping thing, so I put it on Lulu just in case, because I want you guys to get it. You got to see it. It's so great. The trailer's up on thejamhole.com/YouTube. It's also up on thejamhole.com/forums/250. You can see all that stuff there. I have to say, Keith McNally, you did an amazing job with that. I'm blown away, dude. I sat here and I watched it from start to finish. Wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's really good
to see that many people and us and like how he edited it together. It's fluent, dude. It's flawless. It's beautiful.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. So definitely you guys got to check that out and help support the show. If you guys like what we're doing here, all that money goes into the show, helps us eat, helps us live, helps us keep on doing this stuff. I know the server fees are going to come around again for the year, so we'll have to get that taken care of. But yeah, every little bit helps. And if you just want to throw, you know, $2, $3, $4, $5 our way and you don't need anything, definitely thejamhole.com/donate. You can always go to that and just give us money. But we have on thejamhole.com/250, if you scroll down, you'll see the whole store. I put it in there. You can get the high quality video version, which is around 730 megs. It'll play on your iPods, your iPod touches, it'll play on
which
all
I
that
have
shit
to say, it actually looks pretty fucking good on my old school 30 gig iPod.
Yeah, the original video, it
yeah
actually does. And then there's also, if you don't want it in like that's the version for if you wanted to watch it on your computer full screen.
Yeah.
Get the high quality version. Otherwise, we have a half quality version, which will look perfect on the iPods and everything. It's half the size of that, so it's around 350 megs. We also have a high quality audio only version, which is just the audio of it in stereo. You can get that. And then there is, I also put the Book of Matthew up there. I put the shirts, the Jam Hole church stickers, all that stuff is at thejamhole.com/store. You can watch the trailer on thejamhole.com/250. Again,
the trailer,
Keith
amazing.
Courage, KeithCourage.com. That's Keith McNally's site. Show him some love. Thank you so much, McNally. You fucking did an awesome job with that. So definitely check that out. Watch the trailer, if anything. And when you
did a really good job on
the trailer. I've watched it like 10 times now. I love it.
I know
it.
You're starting to annoy me with it.
I know.
Actually,
I can't stop watching.
I like watching the ending credits of our show.
Of the
the
full
God,
version.
I love the credits.
MDS
man
wrote an email and he said, dude, the credits alone are worth $10. So get it right now. It's $5. Or like I said, through Lulu, you can get it for $6.25. Five for us.
It just
$1.25 for them.
That super awesome after party we had. You know, it just sums up that awesomeness.
It was amazing. And big thanks to everyone that came out again. I'm glad this is finally done. It's up on the store. You guys can do what you want with it. I'm glad I don't have to worry about that. But again, thank you, Basement Boys, MDS, Johnny Berger. Everyone that came out for that, you guys were a huge help. I put your names in the credits, everyone that actually did help with stuff. So again, thank you guys so much. We couldn't have done it without y'all being there.
I was under there as producer and like co-host and stuff.
You are the co-host.
That was great.
I know it. It came out amazing though. I couldn't have asked for it to be done any better. Like, he sent the rough draft and I watched it and I'm like, it's done. And Danny's like, well, maybe change this and this. I'm like, all right. So I
you're
emailed,
like, yeah, that's cool.
I emailed McNally and I'm like, I think it's perfect, but Dana wants this and this done. But yeah, dude, thank you so much for that. It looks
that's
amazing.
Yeah,
so
it's so cool to like
go
see
buy it.
It
now, everyone. It's $5. It'll
it's so
entertain
cool
you for hours.
It's so cool to see it at the end. It's like, yay, there's my name, and wait, oh, there I am again. Oh, there's me again, and me again, and everybody else.
Yeah.
It's so great. It's like, hey, that's me.
Yeah, it came out amazing. So definitely help us out. Throw
Uncle
$5
Wayne
our way.
Uncle Wayne Security says MDS.
And, yeah, you'll get the download. So, and I also put up the Book of Matthew for $5 for the digital download, and we still have the actual CDs if you guys want those sent out to you. It's all on the store. So
we have
yeah
a bunch.
Go check it out. Show us some love. We're broke between these surgeries and her car getting sugar in the gas tank, and like we're struggling right now. So help us out a little bit. We got 7 Jam Hole shirts left, and then we can start, you know, looking at getting some more designs and all that up.
Yep, this paycheck I get Friday?
Gone?
Yeah, I got to pay $75 to my mechanic, and then the rest goes to the doctor. Pretty much. Because I don't,
I went to the doctor today.
Oh, yeah, how'd that go?
A little update. So I go in there, and I didn't wait as long as I usually do at doctor's offices. And, like, We're friends now, I guess, because he's seen my dick twice, and I think anyone that's seen my
is
dick
that
twice
now qualify
is
him
is
as
a friend. Yeah, you're a friend.
You gonna go hang out with him later?
Maybe. I don't know. He probably has a boat.
You guys gonna go catch a movie or something?
Go chill. And
be
I
on
was
the boat and like talk about your dick.
So you know, I was weird because I had shaved last night. My groin area, my dick and balls, and we got some fucking on and whatnot. And I go in there today, and I'm like, shit, I hope he doesn't think I shaved for him. Like, this is weird now. He's like, he didn't even, like, tell me to come here. He just, like, the fingers, like, you know, motioning to come here, and I'm like, I know, here we go, and I take all the stuff out of my pockets and put it there, and I fucking drop my stuff, and it's so small again. I'm like, God damn it, and he's like, I know, it's okay, and I, like, pick it up and hand it to him, kind of, because I don't want him reaching in and grabbing my dick. When you present your penis to a doctor, you must hand it to him. Don't just, like, drop your pants and be like, come and
drop,
get it.
Trial and be like, hey.
Come and get it. No, you hand him the dick. And so I hand him.
Wait, Amsby has a good point. I always shave before the gyno. I do too. I always shower and shave before I go to the gyno.
See,
out of, like, courtesy. Well, you don't want a big, hairy, nasty bush to be working on, do you?
I generally keep my stuff well trimmed. It seemed weird that I had gone in there like, oh, I shaved for you.
Well, I guess
for a dude,
it's weird. But it was like for a chick. I mean, your dick protrudes out of the bushy forest, okay?
Well,
a chick, if it's bushy, it's pretty much all bush.
It's like I should have shaved a little heart in there for him or something.
Totally,
it's weird, you know? Like his name or something like that. So he's, you know, looking at it. He's like, oh, it looks much better. Have you been taking the medication? I'm like, no, I didn't take any of it, actually. He's like, okay. Have you been taking the baths? I'm like, actually, no, I haven't done that either. Honestly, I haven't done shit you've told me to since last time you saw me.
I just picked out a lot and then left it alone.
I told him how it exploded when I was out in the middle of the woods and how that was really fun for me and how it's now the main topic of our talk show. No, I didn't tell him that. But and so he's looking at it and examining it and pushing and pulling on it, and I'm like just standing there, you know, listening to what he's saying, and he shows me how they're gonna operate. And you know, like when kids try to slit their wrists, they usually go sideways, not with the vein, and that's wrong. You want to go with the vein. Well, when you're operating on a penis, you actually go across the street, not down the block.
Really?
Yeah.
I figured you would have gone down the street on
He says you slice horizontally. Is this horizontally?
Yes.
From
like
left
the horizon.
To right. Right. So you slice from left to right. That way it heals better. Instead of having to heal this big vertical slice, it just has to heal a little.
Well, I guess because your dick, you know, it gets hard and it gets small, it'd be like, oh, I don't know.
Right,
funny.
So basically he showed me where they were going to make the incision, and I'll be going in under general anesthesia, so I'll be totally knocked out. He must have saw me shaking or something, or I think he saw how small my dick was, and he's like, you're really scared, huh? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, don't be scared. I'm like, all right, I'll try.
Yeah,
I'll be
right.
A big boy.
No. Cool.
So he's explaining that, and then, you know, he's done looking at it, and I pull my pants up, and he zips it up for me. I'm like, thank you. And I go and sit down. We're just talking about it, and I'm asking him about, you know,
a bunch of questions. You're worried,
basically,
dude, because I've called my doctor seriously like 4 times to ask them different questions about what I'm going to have to go through.
Well, see, I more did
not
it because
like
I was
important shit.
I did it because I was curious, because I've never broken a bone. I've never had anything like this. So I'm asking him questions like, what can I expect? Am I going to have staples or stitches and all that? And he said, I'll have internal stitches, so there won't be any to get removed. They'll just dissolve and, you know, my body will do what it does with them.
I had internal stitches once, but they were in my throat, and I picked at them before they dissolved.
Oh, good girl.
Well, they're in the back of my throat, so with my tongue, I would like scrape at them and shit, not to remove tonsils.
Nacho says, yeah, if I were a gynecologist, I wouldn't want to see no saber puss. It'd be mandatory to shave and shower. I'd even supply the soap and razors.
Nice.
No shit. And so, you know, I have to go in on Friday the 13th, which is awesome.
Nice.
Luckiest day of the
so
month
great.
For
you
me.
That's so great. You go in on Friday the 13th. I go in
on
your birthday.
He wanted to do it
good
sooner.
Dates.
And he said, he's like, honestly, you could probably leave it alone and live the rest of your life without any complications. They're really concerned if people are diabetic or have immune problems.
Uh-huh.
Because then it gets really bad and it can move around and it can infect your shit. But he said it's not cancer-causing or anything like that, and everything's, you know, fine. He's like, but we should probably remove it. That way it'll be gone forever. And he explained to me what it was, what it's going to look like when it comes out and all this. And So,
ew, what do you say it's going to look like when it comes out?
He said they look like little onions, kind of. Like, small little onions with, like, it's a capsule with the fluid inside of it. He cuts vertically or horizontally, and then he has to actually cut them out because there's stems in it. It's like the triangles from Infected, literally.
It's like a wart.
It's like a normal tumor, how the tumor
has roots.
Stems, and like that's roots. How it gets the blood into it to manufacture more cells or whatever.
It's like a wart, dude. You have the big cauliflower-ish thing on top, and then on the inside, it like branches down and roots into your shit, so it gets to your veins and all that, so it gets nutrients to grow.
Exactly. So he's like, he told me how they, you know, cut it out and everything. He's like, you'll wake up and it'll all be done and everything will be fine. 3 days max, you'll be able to go back to work. So he's like, we're going to do it on a Friday so you can have Saturday, Sunday to recoup. He said the whole procedure takes anywhere between 15 minutes to an hour. He doesn't know for sure until he actually gets in there and sees what it is. Sees what he's dealing with.
Is he actually doing it?
Yeah, he's the one actually doing it. And he's a really cool guy. Like,
that's really cool, because the first time I'm going to get to meet the doctor who's cutting my ass open is the day before the surgery.
Oh, nice. Yeah, so everything will be okay, I guess. I'm really nervous about it just because I've never had...
So he could have done it earlier and everything?
What?
He could have got you in earlier?
Oh, yeah, he could have done it earlier, but I told him you were getting operated on, and I told him what it was, and he's like, yeah, that's way more invasive than what we're going to do to you, so you should probably wait until she's done and better, and then you can go in, because you're going to need to take care of her. So I was like, all right, that makes sense.
Really?
And what he told me was that they should have removed your shit the first time you went in there. He's like, there's no way... It should have gotten that big. It should have been removed as soon as they saw it, especially cysts that are inside the ovaries like that.
Really?
He's like, they should have never have tried the hormone treatment. They should have just removed it.
Oh.
And I was like,
I guess that's
wow.
More serious than like a cystic ovary.
Well, yeah, because
growing on the outside.
That shit can cause cancer, he said. He's like, the longer it's in there.
A cyst growing on the inside?
Yes. Any cyst like that, any ovarian cyst, he said, have a chance to cause cancer. And he's like, if it would have been me, I would have had that removed as soon as possible. I was like,
I'm
going to
bitch out my doctor.
Yeah, well, urology is a little different than your doctor, I think. I don't know.
Well,
but,
if I go in there and I'm like, yeah, I spoke with another doctor and they said that you should have removed that the first time instead of giving me all this hormone shit.
And they would have been like, well, you should have paid your fucking bill and you should have had insurance the first time.
I'd have been like, well, I could have paid the fucking bill if you only charged me for one fucking visit.
Yeah, right. Right? So, anyway, it got me thinking, to wrap up the whole urologist thing, what makes a man want to be a penis doctor?
He just loves his penis so much.
I was so curious. I was walking out, and I'm like, you don't go to medical school like, I'm going to be a dick doctor. Like, that's something you're like, oh, this is fun. I like handling penises and balls. It just seemed weird for a male to be like, I want to be around dick my whole
life.
Maybe
it's because at one point in time, they experienced something with...
Some,
you know,
dick trauma themselves.
Right, and then they wish that there was someone there to help them.
I see. I
can
see that.
It's kind of like a gynecologist. Why the fuck would you want to spend all day around pussy unless you're a lesbo
or a guy?
Because
it's a vagina, dude.
Right, but if you're a chick...
I wouldn't want to be around nasty, infected, sick pussy, you know?
Well, that's what gynos do. So, I mean...
Well, no, they have just routine checkups where it's...
Right, perhaps...
But, yeah, you're gonna get into some pretty sick twat, you know? And, yeah, I wouldn't want to do that either. I love pussy, but I wouldn't want to be around sick pussy because I think after enough nasty pussies, I would probably go gay. I'd be like, pussy is disgusting. Pussy is the most disgusting thing in the world.
You'd be in there trying to give me a pap smear every time we... Fuck.
Yeah, right? Like,
let me check out your cervix, honey. Does this hurt?
Oh, man.
You're going to feel a little pressure right here. No, but that's really sweet that your doctor's like, you're going to have to take care of her.
Yeah, and he seemed like a really nice guy.
He said that's really, like, a lot more invasive than...
Well, he just said, I'm going to be out for, like, 2-3 days. You're going to be out for probably, like, a week or two. And it's more intense because of what they...
They said
it's
because 2 weeks at the minimum.
It's because of the procedure, dude. They're not... It's on my dick. It's not up in my fucking balls or up in my guts, you know? Your shit is up in your guts, in your Nickelodeon guts. It's all up in the aggro crag, if you know what I mean. You remember that? Uh-huh. Mike Malley, what was his name? Mike O'Malley? Nickelodeon Guts! I used to get such a hard-on with his co-host, that one chick with the British accent. Oh, man. She made my dick get hard.
So I was thinking for the surgery to do, like, a videotaping, like, documentary, like, before and after, and then plug in.
Why?
Just because I like that. I want to do that. And I want to put it on my
YouTube
channel.
Yeah, Nacho says, starring Mike O'Malley. And Mo, that was it. It was Ma. I love that guy. Nacho, you're the fucking man. Her name was Mo. She was so hot. Where is she now? Could you maybe Google that for me? I'm curious.
Anyway, but yeah.
If she's doing porn. That's what I'm curious about.
Oh, my God. But I wanted to do some kind of cool documentary or whatever because, like, I have yet to see on YouTube or anything. I'm trying to find videos and stuff of someone actually doing this procedure and talking about before and after it. And all I've gotten are these simulated videos. I've gotten
so I get
video
home.
Of inside the person, not them actually talking about it or anything. I want to see start to finish with the same person and then a fucking explanation and tell me about
how they feel.
You know, I want to know about it. So that's kind of what I want to do for it. I want to videotape myself before I go
to help other people.
Yeah.
When did you get a heart?
As soon as I got a giant cyst.
It's actually not my heart. It's the cyst's heart.
Right. It's speaking to my brain. As soon as I get out, I'll just be like, fuck this shit to the camera.
I hate you.
I'm high as a kite. No, but, you know, I wanted to videotape myself before I go in, talk about shit on the way in, and then what I'll do is I'll dub the actual surgery video and the in between.
Oh yeah, you're gonna do that?
Yeah,
you pick up some video editing skills along the way.
It's not that hard. I've watched you do it a million times.
Okay,
and then
remember
I'll have
that
my brother,
when you're like, Matt, will you edit this video?
I might ask you for help. Shut up.
Nope,
nothing crazy, but.
Listen back, Exhibit A, Your Honor, the Jam Hole episode 257.
I will ask you for help, I guarantee you, okay? But
thank you.
I won't need crazy stuff. But anyway, I want my brother to have the video camera of when I wake up, so that way he can videotape me when I wake up out of the fucking general anesthesia or whatever, because I want to see what people look like when they come out of that. And then I want to talk about it afterwards and see what all is going on. I think I want to do that. That'd
yeah
be cool.
Well, that would be interesting. We can definitely do that. We have the means and everything to do it.
I think it'd
so
be cool.
I was delivering
you should do it to help people with penises. You
yeah
should
that's not gonna happen. I
maybe not
fuck
videotape the surgery, but
nah I don't want to remember any of this. I want it done.
You videotape and just give me the DVD?
Nope.
And not,
I don't want a DVD of it. I don't want to remember.
I
want to
see.
No,
I want to see what they pull out of your penis, damn it. It's probably a giant little
triangle?
Giant little.
Probably.
It's probably a miniature you inside your penis.
We could only hope.
They're going to pull it out. They're going to slap it. It's going to cry and throw it in an incinerator. Whatever.
Good. So I'm in Lakeside today, and I come back by the house, and I come in, and Danny's sitting here on the computer watching how-to general anesthesia videos. I'm like, what the fuck are you watching? You're going to freak yourself out. She's like, no, look, YouTube teaches you how to be an anesthesiologist. I'm like, no shit. Holy crap.
Totally
it told her step by step, dude.
On
it's
how
all
to
like
shove a tube down someone's throat.
Yeah, that blew my mind. And I asked her, like, why would this be on YouTube? Like, our doctor's like, man, I totally forgot how to, oh, better check the YouTubes. And like, it blows
I guess
my
it's
mind.
Just
that's
general information for people to know.
Yeah, I guess. The internet is information, that's for sure.
I mean, that's, I don't know. I was looking for, you know, a video of someone going under anesthesia and what they do with general anesthesia. You know, I was really curious if they shove a tube down my nose.
I would rather,
I don't want a tube down my nose.
I would rather just not know.
You're just like your mom. Your mom's like, your mom said that she went in for pre-op for one of her surgeries, and they're like, okay, this is what we're going to do, and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, she told the doctor, she's like, the more you talk, the more I want to throw up. Just don't tell
exactly
me anything.
Just do it
she's
and
like,
be done.
If you know what you're doing, just do it. Don't
like,
just let me wake up and be happy.
Like I said, I want to be sleeping at night. I want the black van to roll up, grab me while I'm sleeping, knock me out, and I want to wake up back in my bed. Done. Surgery,
you're
going
to wake up and grab your dick to pee and be like, ah! What's wrong with my penis?
Amy's B says, it helps the intern study. That makes sense. If you can just tell all your interns, go to this video and study. Nacho says, going back to who Mo is, it says she's a voice actor now and was a voice on the video game Mercenaries and is married to some comedian. Which comedian? Just out of curiosity. And Red Fox says, pretty sure YouTube isn't an accredited education facility. You think?
I just wanted to know what they do. And
all right, well,
which is really stupid because they want me to take out my nose rings and stuff. I think it's maybe because like the metal or something.
I told
but
you it's because of the masks and stuff, and they just don't want any of that shit in there when they're operating on you. That's all.
It's stupid. It's not going to fall out or anything.
It doesn't matter. If they have to put a mask on you and the things are poking, it doesn't seal properly, you're going to get an offset amount of oxygen.
I'm putting my plastic ones in.
Just do what they fucking say. Don't
They'll
be an
close.
Idiot. Oh, well, I think you should take them out anyway.
No. Go to hell.
I don't care. So, moving on here. Who is behind marijuana prohibition? The government, perhaps? Law
Maybe.
Enforcement organizations,
sure.
perhaps?
I don't know.
The common inference behind this question is that there must be some behind-the-scenes cabal of Big Pharma, tobacco, and alcohol executives conspiring to keep cannabis illegal. By contrast, the real culprits behind pot prohibition are far more overt. Law enforcement organizations, including cops, district attorneys, prosecutors, prison guard unions, sheriffs, and narcotics officers associations, remain the primary force working against sensible marijuana law reform. Now, do you know why?
Why?
Because their salaries depend on it. If there's no more weed being illegal, you can get rid of half of the DEA. The prosecutors, you can get rid of half of their cases. The cops, you can get rid of half of the tickets they write. Their salaries come out of that shit. It's in their best interest to keep it illegal as long as possible. The
but
prison
the
guards,
state, the,
obviously.
The government, the fucking U.S. will have more money
but they,
to give you raises and to
no, though, because if you're not having such big problems with the law, you're going to cut budgets. You're not going to spend as much on law enforcement because your crime is cut in half. Take away how many people get busted for weed-related offenses daily?
Not a clue.
So many, dude. So many. And you cut that shit in half just by legalizing it, there goes a lot of people's jobs. And it's stupid that that's what their job is. Like, your job is to put people that smoke weed in jail. Like, cool, dude. All in a day's work, you know? That it seems stupid, but that's how it is. So I got a couple examples here. Los Angeles County District Attorney Steve Cooley said Thursday he will prosecute medical marijuana dispensaries for over-the-counter sales, targeting a practice that has become commonplace under an initiative approved by California voters more than a decade ago. We passed this initiative 10 years ago, Steve Cooley, douche, and you're still trying to bust people for it? Wow. That blows my mind.
Yeah.
The vast majority, about 100% of dispensaries in L.A. County and the city are operating illegally. They are dealing marijuana illegally, according to our theory, he said. The time is right to deal with this problem. Good. Bust people that are sick and dying and that need weed to eat and everything. Or even the people that are just smoking it to fucking smoke it. Like, that's your job? That's so stupid.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
I'm good.
even prior to the passage of California's Prop 215, cannabis dispensaries, the same sort of dispensaries that D.A. Cooley now unilaterally defines as a problem, operated openly and without incident in L.A. County. Today, over 1,000 such operations exist in Los Angeles. Cooley has now arbitrarily declared that 100% of these dispensaries are acting illegally, based not on a court decision, but rather his own personal pot bias. That's fucked up, dude. And he is in a position of power to do things, you know? And that's fucking sad. So, if you guys were wondering, I'll put a link to this in the show notes. It's really long, but there's a lot of good examples and whatnot of why it's still illegal. It has nothing to do with the research. It has nothing to do with weed being dangerous or anything like that.
It's
it
money.
Has to do with their salaries.
It's
and
money.
That's it. And that's fucked up.
That is fucked up.
Marijuana as a smoke product has never proven to be medically beneficial and, in fact, is much more likely to harm one's health. It has become clear, despite the claims of use by critically ill people, that only about 2% of those using crude marijuana for medicine are critically ill. They're all lies that they're propagating. How does it harm you? I've been smoking it since I was, like, fucking 14, dude. And I am
fine.
I
never had any problems with it when I was smoking it.
Exactly. Like, where do you get this information? Here's one. The use of intoxicating and addictive substance fuels crime and destroys lives by creating addiction and dependency. You mean, like, alcohol? That's totally legal. You mean, like, opiate painkillers? That's legal if you have a prescription? Oh, no, not those. You mean pot. Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Right. Okay.
Children are victims of abuse and neglect at the hands of parents or caretakers who live in addiction. Young adults are particularly vulnerable to addiction. Relaxed attitudes toward drug use place them at greater risk of addiction. Clearly, legalization of marijuana will lead to great use by those who would not use it if it were not legal. Dude, check this out. Everyone smokes pot, okay? When it was illegal, we smoked it. Now that it's legal, we still smoke it, dude.
Yep.
It doesn't fucking matter. Keep it illegal. I don't give a shit. I still smoke it. It's fine. I have no problem getting it. I have no problem smoking it. I've never had a problem with the law, and I don't plan on having a problem with the law. It's not a big deal. When will they understand that?
Never.
When their salaries stop depending on how many people they put in jail because of it?
Pretty much.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. So, speaking of drugs, psychedelic mushrooms. Who likes mushrooms?
You do.
I do. Not lately, but I've been known to hallucinate here and there. Well, a new study is out that says psychedelic mushrooms can actually boost mental health. I believe this
Wonder how long it'll take to make that legal.
I believe this was stumbled to us by Burger. Thank you so much for that.
Everything in the stumble was Burger.
For the most part.
No, everything.
In a new report, scientists declared that the active ingredient in hallucinogenic magic mushrooms, which is psilocybin or psilocin, either or, had beneficial effects on test subjects who took the substance under a doctor's supervision. What's more, the effects lingered 14 months after the experiment. More than half the subjects reported still feeling an increase in well-being or life satisfaction in terms of things like feeling more creative, self-confident, flexible, and optimistic.
14 months.
I can definitely side with this. I've tripped my fucking balls off. I've tripped so hard, I've taken a piss and been like, whoa, where's my balls? Oh yeah, I tripped them off down the fucking road. Like, and it does, like, you feel so creative and you're confident and you learn stuff, or you think you do, I don't know, you know. Recalling what you've learned during the trip is always the hard part of it, but
that's why you write everything down.
You try to. I think I have a sketchbook with some, well, that was on LSD, but I wrote some stuff and it is, you can't read it, it's pretty crazy. It's like a paper with words on top of words on top of words on top of words with boxes and circles, and it's nuts. I was tripping.
I've never really done that.
The experiment was one of the few conducted in the 4 decades since the government cracked down on hallucinogens, banning most research and listing them as dangerous drugs. Researchers say the study marks another shift in policy, which could yield research with dramatic insights. Quote, "These drugs are no longer being confined to rats in test tubes," said David Nichols, a Purdue University pharmacologist. Oh, are you the dude that came up with, "We'll make them harder to crush"?
Right.
Were you tripping on shrooms when you thought of that,
dude? I got a question.
Please.
Okay, back when I first started hanging out with you, the first night that I came over to your house and you picked me up from the gas station with Braden to take him home.
Yeah.
You had a mushroom in your car or in your truck, and you were like, "Mushroom?" And I was like, "No." And you're like, and just ate it.
Did I?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I totally don't remember that.
Or I think it was in maybe in the apartment after we got here, but you totally offered me a mushroom, and I was like, "No."
I wouldn't have had it in the car with me.
Yeah, I thought no.
So what is your question? Yes, I did.
Was that like the last time you had them? Was like right before you met me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just wasn't sure.
Yep.
So like I stopped cocaine and you stopped mushrooms?
Well, I had stopped tripping for a while. I grew them just because it was a fun hobby.
What do you
hobby.
Even see?
God. No, I don't know. It opens your mind. It dilates your pupils, allows more light to hit your brain. It does things chemically in your brain. I'm going to sound like Josh.
Do you see weird shit?
Not like what people say, like, oh, I saw a purple elephant running at me and I scared, so I killed myself. You
I
don't see that. You
like,
see
I hear
shades
it's more
of
colors and shades.
Do you want me to
and
tell you what you see?
I'm just saying what I heard.
Word on the street?
Yeah.
Yeah, you see shades, you see silk screen looking things, you see waves, you see colors as sounds. Your hearing is way in tune, and everything is metallic sounding and tinny. It heightens a lot of your oral senses and your visual senses, so it's fun.
What
it's
about
cool.
LSD? Do you actually see
LSD?
Shit?
Not like I remember eating. I think we ate like 5 hits each, and we were driving down the street in the V-dub van, me and my friend. And all of a sudden, everything became two-dimensional paper cartoons. Like, not, like, super vivid, like, there's Roger Rabbit and Bugs Bunny, but everything had a cartoony look to it, and it was all two-dimension, like, paper. It was the weirdest thing, dude. And
that's
I'm like,
crazy.
And I'm like, I'm so glad I'm not driving right now, and I look over at my friend, he looks at me, and his eyes are just like, bam! And he's, like, just driving the V-dub bus. I'm like, oh, man. And then I threw up. And what we usually, back in the day, what we'd like to do is eat shrooms or trip acid on a Friday night, Saturday morning, wake up, go snowboard. So I puked out the thing while we were driving, and I totally forgot about it. And we wake up in the morning, go out to the bus, and all on the side of the bus is my frozen puke. Just and my friend like looks at me, he's like, "Dude, scrape that off." And I'm like, "I know." And I fucking took the ice scraper and scraped my puke off. It was so
That's
gross.
So great.
It
oh
was
my
so
God.
Gross. But yeah,
That's
we
disgusting.
We used to do that like every weekend. We eat either 5-10 hits acid each and just get fucking boom, dude. And we figured out a lot of stuff, and I do believe that I have the views in life that I do because of those experiences. You know, it causes you to see the world differently. It definitely does.
I want
to
eat mushrooms.
I don't want to say everyone should try it, because definitely there's certain types of personalities that just don't vibe well with it.
Yeah.
And the
like,
one
I
thing,
don't vibe well with pot.
The one thing I would always tell people before they would eat them is that if you have anything hidden in your ego, anything in your mind that you're not thinking about, anything bad, anything like that, do not eat them, because it will bring that stuff out and you'll freak yourself out and turn yourself into a bad trip. And that sucks, you know? Mm-hmm. It sucks when people are like, yeah, fuck mushrooms, I had a bad experience with one. It's like, dude, it's not the mushrooms' fault. It was you being in the wrong frame of mind to eat them. You have to be in the right frame of mind to do this stuff, and it will be the most beautiful experience you've ever had. Sex on it, huh, amazing. The yeah. body and the vibration, it's so hard to explain, but it is the most amazing thing ever. Better than fucking on ecstasy, because you have the whole, you're hallucinating and everything is just awesome, and you're like one person, just like, woo, woo, woo. It's amazing, dude. It's pretty nuts. So I'm glad they're actually doing studies like this, because they pretty much stopped doing any kinds of studies on it for the longest time, because it was like, weed will kill you, mushrooms will make you jump out of windows. Uh-huh. It's like, well, not really, unless you're in the wrong frame of mind to do it. Then you should know better as a fucking adult or, you know, a teenager not to do that shit. It's like the kids that mix fucking benzos and opiates and then drink and wonder why they died. Like, you're a fucking idiot. Don't do that. So, the guy from Purdue University was doing the study. Quote, what we're looking at is largely unexplored technology for brain science. Huh. Largely unexplored, because I largely explored that from the time I was like 16 till about a year ago. So maybe unexplored technology for your brain science. My brain knows all about it, dude.
My brain's got it.
It was discovered in the 1940s, set the psychiatry world ablaze in the 50s, and was aborted by widespread recreational abuse, the reaction of the media, and its confluence with the Vietnam War, of course. In the study published in the Journal of Psychopharmacology, researchers gave test subjects doses of psilocybin, the active ingredient in mushrooms, of course, and directed the volunteers to lie down, listen to classical music, and look inward. See, and that's the best. I mean, I've had a lot of fun tripping with friends, but the best times I've ever had was by myself in the dark, total darkness, with music playing and just eyes closed and just you leave, but not physically. Like, your mind wanders, literally. It's the most amazing experience. I highly wish I could say everyone try it, but like I said, some personalities just don't go well with it, you know? And you gotta know enough when... It's like drinking. You gotta know when you've had enough drinks before you turn into that piece of shit asshole no one likes. It's the same thing with this. You have to know when it's good and when it's not. The psilocybin... The drug is only given to people with no history... See? I should have been a fucking doctor, dude. Unbelievable. The drug is only given to people with no history of psychosis or serious mental disorders, and psychological support is provided during and after the experience. The psilocybin researchers also stress that they're not encouraging people to take hallucinogens outside the controlled setting of a lab, and added that the powerful substances can provoke fear and panic. And I've seen both in people and in myself. While some researchers hope to use psilocybin for scientific inquiry into the nature of human spirituality, others have more objective medical goals. Researchers say they'll conducting further studies. Nice fucking grammar, dude. They're going to conduct further studies to examine whether the shrooms can help people with such wide-ranging ailments as obsessive compulsive disorder, anxiety, and alcoholism, as well as people who are coping with a cancer diagnosis. Now, I don't agree with that. If you have just been told something like you have cancer and you're going to die, tripping on shrooms is probably not going to help them.
Probably not at all.
I mean... The cancer's gonna come out and eat me. I guess it depends how severe the prognosis is, but I don't know. I always told people if you had any inkling of anything bad, even anything that you have that's bugging you, any responsibilities, like, I would make sure I had everything done. No one was gonna call me. No coitus interruptus. You know, nothing like that. Everything was clean. The house was clean when I did it. Everything was in its place, because when you start tripping, shit kind of comes out of place, and you need it to start as much in place as possible before
you
go.
Shit starts coming out of place, like you start fucking with everything.
Kind of like if I ate shrooms and the house was a mess, I would not enjoy myself, because I would just think, like, how did my life get to this? I'm living like a pig, and my OCD would kick in, and then I would start to freak out. And once you get that one thought of this is going badly, it goes badly, and that's it. So
that
just
sucks.
Be careful, guys. If you're going to do this stuff, moderation, of course, with anything, but just be careful. Like I said, make sure everything is taken care of. Make sure no one's going to bug you. Make sure you're in a safe place, like a lab. I mean, if you can do it in a laboratory setting, that would be ideal. Eyes closed, lay down, music, whatever. You know, just don't be stupid about it. Because the more people, and this is why I fucking hate, it's just like with the drug ODs. It's not the fucking drug's fault, it's the retard that fucking took them wrong. Just like with mushrooms, dude, the more people that do them and get fucked up and have to go to the hospital, it gives the drug a bad name. It is not the fucking drug's fault, it's your fucking fault, because your poor little piddly-ass mind couldn't fucking handle it. So, just, please, for us, for the mushrooms, for everybody, make sure you're in a good frame of mind when you do it. That's all. So, moving on.
My bad.
This was sent to us by MDS. I appreciate this. Did you see the racism in Georgia? I mean, obviously, right, Georgia.
No, I've never seen the racism in Georgia.
There's a sign, apparently, outside of a bar that says Obama's plan for health care. Nigger rig it. Oh, that's funny, because he's black and he's trying to actually do something for the country. Cool, Georgia. when you walk into the Georgia Peach Oyster Bar in Paulding County, you feel like you've walked into a different era. Behind the pool table stands a mannequin in a Ku Klux Klan... Blah, blah, blah. Fuck. Ku Klux Klan costume.
Jesus.
But it's what's outside of the restaurant that has some people angry. The owner, Patrick Lanzo, put up a sign that reads, Obama's plan for health care. N, asterisk, ampersand, percentage, asterisk, R, rig it. I mean, he actually spelled it out, you know. It would have been funnier if he would have put N-word, rig it. You know? You racist. CBS 2 Atlanta sent a black reporter to make this super awesome awkward, too. Watch, there's a video here. I'll put a link to it in the show notes, of course. The CBS Atlanta's Michelle Marsh asked Lanzo why he put up the sign. Why would you put up a sign, racist, with a Ku Klux Klan mannequin in your bar?
Maybe because he's racist.
Oh, okay. No, it's got to be deeper than that. Nope, this is Georgia. No. He's just a racist.
Mm-hmm.
Well, quote, I've been putting up signs for 22 years, and I've put up all kinds of political signs, said Lanzo. Why did you use the N-word, Marsh asked. Remember, this is a black reporter asking him this.
Oh, nice.
Didn't you catch that?
No.
CBS Atlanta sent a black reporter to make this super awesome awkward also.
No, I didn't.
Pay
okay.
attention?
I got it.
Okay. Well, I've used it most of my life. There are different ways to put your opinion up, but that's just the words I choose, he answered.
I don't know if I would have went if I was the black chick, you know? I'd have been like, you know...
I'm probably gonna get killed, so...
Yeah, this guy has a Ku Klux Klan guy in
his. You ever
bar
heard the saying,
and...
out of the frying pan, into the fryer? You're sending me into the fryer.
Yeah,
boss.
You're actually sending me into the incinerator.
Is that weird? Is that just a random thing, or do you think the news outlet CBS did that on purpose? Do you think they're like, let's send a black reporter there and see the reaction?
Know. There's no really real way to know.
I would be really interested to see if they did that on purpose or if she just happened to be, you know, the roving news reporter there. He was somehow a member of the NAACP in 05. Do people even know who they are anymore? That's so awesome. Why would you... Oh, wow, dude. Do you have health care? Oh, right, you're old and white. And you own a bar. Cool. That's so amazing to me. All right. Well, I got a couple more stories here before we got here. You know how we're speaking about homeopathy earlier.
Hey.
Please.
I wanted to let you know. I got my car back today.
Yeah?
It was great.
Right on.
I'm so happy.
I am too.
Just
now
letting
I
you
can
know.
I can start being late to work again.
Yeah, you got kind of cranky at me this morning because you're all like, you didn't wake me up.
Yeah, it was fine. I was only like 20 minutes
late. Hit you when your alarm went off. That's as good as I can do that early in the morning.
I know. It's fine.
And tomorrow, I'm going to do the same thing.
Whatever.
Actually,
hopefully, I won't be up till fucking 2 in the morning programming that fucking store.
Actually, I
got to
get up. At about 8 o'clock, because I have to go into town early and get my fucking tag for my car, because my car has been sitting at a shop for about 3 weeks, and so my tag expired.
Well, of course.
Because it was due last month, and I did have the money to get the tag, because obviously I put it into the car, or into the doctor's office, or wherever. So, yeah, now I have to go do it tomorrow morning, if I don't get pulled over on my way.
Right. Hopefully
not.
That would be nice.
My car hauls balls, though.
Does it? It's
tell
nice
you,
when there's
yeah.
It's not powered by sugar.
Well, because of that one coil cylinder, it was actually only running off of four cylinders.
Wow.
Instead of the six.
Nice.
So when you replace that, all six jumps in, and they're a lot better. Oh, God.
And locking gas cap now.
Locking gas cap.
Don't forget to lock that shit.
I was like, I saw you. I'm like, look, it locks.
Yeah.
I can't.
All right, well, cool. Let's get through these last couple stories, and we'll get the fuck out of here. So, we're speaking about homeopathy, also in that line of bullshit, faith healing, right? Uh-huh. So, I'm glad we're starting to see this more, and even, like I said, quackwatch.org, I'm subscribed to the health fraud alerts. I've been seeing a lot of this happening lately, which is good. Jail terms for faith healers.
Mm-hmm.
When they let, the last story we read about was a little, what was she, 11 months old?
Yeah, the eczema
and
one.
She had eczema and she died from it because they prayed for her and didn't treat her with medicine.
Yep.
No, it was God's will that
no.
she died. No, it wasn't,
not.
Idiot.
It was your negligence, you dumb
so,
bitch.
So, here's another case. A U.S. couple who prayed rather than seeking medical attention for their dying daughter have been sentenced to 6 months in jail. 6 months. For that. That's bullshit. Set an example and put them in jail for the rest of their lives.
But listen to how the sentence is carried out. I actually kind of read into this. Go ahead.
Dalen Lilaney Newman of Wisconsin, of course, could have received up to 25 years in prison over the 2008 death of Madeline Newman, who was known as Kara. The 11-year-old died of an undiagnosed but treatable form of diabetes. Diabetes, diabetes. Diabetes, diabetes. I love that.
Oh my God.
Who dies from diabetes anymore?
People who don't take care of it.
That's so...
People who don't get the insulin shot or the medicated shit they need for it.
You prayed wrong. You should have prayed for insulin. You were praying for something else, dummies.
A cure.
Yeah. No, she needs insulin. Judge Vincent Howard ordered the couple to serve 1 month in jail for 1 month in jail each year for the next 6 years. One parent will serve the term in March and the other in September. The judge told... That's... What?
Yep.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
Why?
He did it so it would be a reminder to them for the next 6 years.
Oh, cool.
What they did. And that is still stupid, but I guess it is a good reminder. I would say just put them in jail for the next 6 years.
The judge told the Newmans this would give them time to think about Kara and what God wants you to learn from this. God wants you to use doctors. How about church and state stay separated and the judge doesn't say, you need to learn about what God wants you to learn from this. I don't need the judge talking about God. The judge is the judge. He is the state. The church is the church, which is separated from the state. The judge, that's bullshit, dude. That's fucked up.
Yeah.
He added that they were, quote, very good people raising their family who made a bad decision, a reckless decision. He added, quote, God probably works through other people, some of them doctors. In addition to the custodial sentence, the Newmans were also put on 10 years probation as part which they must allow a nurse to examine their two youngest surviving children at least once every 3 months and must immediately take their children to a doctor in case of any serious injuries. How about take the kids away and give them to a family that will actually care for them and not just leave it in the hands of fucking God and then throw their asses in jail forever, not for 6 months or whatever the fuck.
That's called murder.
That's bullshit, dude. That's so fucked up. You let your 11-year-old die from diabetes because you thought God would heal her. Wow.
That doesn't happen. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but
when does that ever
pray for?
When does that ever happen except in the case of automatic remission when whatever they're sick from just goes away on its own? It didn't go away because you prayed for them, idiot. It went away because it ran its course and it was done. That's what it does. Unfucking believable, dude. Prosecutors said the couple had recklessly killed the youngest of their four children by ignoring clear symptoms of severe illnesses as she became too weak to speak, eat, drink, or walk. And like we said before with the eczema thing, you would think, being parents, that maybe after the first month of praying and she was still not getting better, you'd be like, huh.
Maybe I should take it to a doctor.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe you're not. You look at your wife and you're like, I know I prayed. It must have been you. You were the one not praying. And then they get divorced because of it. Like, my wife sucks at praying. Kara died on the floor of the family's rural home as people surrounded her and prayed. People were there praying over her and she died. Wow. True believers, good. Keep believing in that shit.
I don't even have anything to say.
Keep killing people in the name of God and healing them. Fucking fantastic.
It just makes me really angry.
Oh, in their defense, the parents said they believed healing came from God and that they had not expected their daughter to die as they prayed for her. No shit! Unfucking believable. Yeah, you guys can read the rest of that in the show notes. I'm fucking pissed. So, let's see here. We got Winter Springs, Florida. Our most fucked up state, of course. Winter Springs. You know where that's at?
Yeah.
All right. A man who thought there was an intruder in his house shot and killed his fiancée the day before they were to be married. Like, honey, I'm home. That's amazing. Because you know how sometimes couples, you know, when one is away and the other one's home, and it's like, oh, I'm going to sneak in and it's going to be awesome. And, like, she snuck in and he killed her.
That's so awesome.
Wow. Quote, right now everything points to a tragic accident. John
didn't want to fucking marry her, dude.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he made it look like an accident.
He's like, all right, baby, I'm going to turn the lights off. You go ahead and sneak in here like you're robbing me.
It's coming straight for us. Get him, Ned. I got him. John Tabut, 62, told investigators he got his gun when he thought he heard an intruder, then fired at a figure in the hallway, according to the lawyer. It was Tabut's live-in fiance, 62-year-old Nancy Dinsmore, who family members say he was going to marry Saturday. Tabut told the authorities he thought she was next to him in bed the whole time.
Wow.
Wow, dude.
They're old, though, right? Because they said 62.
They're both 62. You would think...
That's not that old, though.
But... if we're laying in bed and I get up and you all of a sudden hear something, you go for the gun, you know what I look like. Even in the dark, you know what a silhouette of your fucking lover looks like. You're going to marry her tomorrow. You know what they fucking look like. I bet he did it on purpose.
Yeah.
Brunel said no charges have been filed, adding the information Talbot provided has been verified, and he appeared very distraught.
Fucking nagging ass
Juilliard.
Bitch. Kaboom!
Acting classes, man. I'm telling you. Does a body good.
I'll have to remember that trick.
Yeah, I know, right? Me too. quote, they loved each other. He said it was quite apparent. Could you live with yourself after that? Like, if... I don't
think
I could...
If it was for real and you accidentally shot me?
No, me. Like, you. If you accidentally shot and killed me. Like, would you be able... I don't think... If I did that to you, I'd be able to live with myself.
Well, what would you do?
I would probably kill myself. If I did that and turned on the light and you were laying there dead, I would freak the fuck out,
well,
dude.
I would freak the fuck out, too, but I wouldn't kill myself over it.
Wow. I guess we know who loves who
well,
more.
Well, no, dude.
Fuck.
Come on, you know what I
Who's
mean?
Who's the asshole?
You know what I mean, though? I wouldn't
I
kill myself
I,
over it.
I don't
I would
know,
be
though.
Very. I probably wouldn't come out of my house for like a year.
That would haunt me for the rest
yeah,
of
yeah,
my life,
me
dude.
Me too.
I don't think I could live with myself after that. I mean, some girls...
I probably would never be with anybody after
some
that.
Some girls I could see like, okay, oh well. But like you, I think that would seriously really bug me. And
aww.
I don't think I could live with myself. Seriously.
Do you really love
like,
me?
I'm being honest here. I don't... If I fucking shot somebody because I thought
I
was breaking
everybody?
In and I turned the light on and saw you there dead, holy shit, dude. That would destroy my world.
Does that mean you love me more than everybody?
Something like that.
Something like that?
All right, and the last story before we get out of here tonight, you know how we're always talking about houses that people just pack tons of shit in and, you know, what are they called? Hoarders.
My mom.
I believe your mother is one, and her mother's mother.
Probably.
Well, we have another case here in, of course, our most fucked up state, Jacksonville. Missing persons detectives in hazmat suits searched a west side.
That's where my cousin's from, Tammy. She's from Jacksonville.
Was this her house? A west side home full of rotting garbage to find the body of 27-year-old Tammy...
Whoa, what?
of 72-year-old retired psychiatrist who had not been seen for 3 days. That's weird, dude. Usually hoarders are not psychiatrists. You know?
Yeah,
like
usually they're like... not cluttered.
Well, I'm just thinking if you're a psychiatrist and you start to hoard things like that, I think you would know enough to diagnose yourself and be like, whoa, I need help. Yeah, exactly. This is pretty nasty. The woman's chihuahua roaming in the front yard was described as emaciated. When firefighters forced their way inside,
dude,
they found piles.
It's a chihuahua. It's emaciated regardless.
That's
come
a good
on.
Point.
It's
a chihuahua,
an
dude.
Hour
hey,
ago, it looks emaciated.
Hey, the dog can't help it. Come on. It's not his fault. When firefighters forced their way inside, they found piles of garbage 6 to 7 feet high. Two
holy
police
shit.
Officers who searched the home shortly after 11 p.m. were overcome by fumes and taken to the hospital as a precaution. Your
damn.
Shit stank so bad, cops had to go to the hospital because of it.
That's sad.
That is some stank on you.
That's some stank.
Fuck, dude.
That's disgusting.
Francis called the odor unbelievable. Description cannot define. Could you imagine that? Just so 7 feet of garbage through the whole house and a dead body under it all.
That's so disgusting.
And a little nasty chihuahua.
Chihuahua?
Chihuahua. Initial search of the house by police and rescuers with a canine search dog did not find the woman. Police and firefighters returned to the home Wednesday morning with cadaver dogs and protective equipment. They have such a thing as cadaver dogs? Dogs to sniff out dead bodies?
I did not know that.
I didn't know that either. I knew.
Well, I guess you put off a certain kind of pheromone when you die.
That's true, but they make it sound like it's a specially trained dog. I figured all dogs will sniff out whatever as long as
because you put off a different smell when you die. Everything does.
But I know a dog has really good sense of smell. Could a dog discern between rotting garbage and rotting carcass? Dead body? Yeah, dude.
I don't know.
They can
tell between cocaine and pot. I mean, they can.
Well, no, I don't think the dog is the weed's over here and the coke's over here. They just know drugs
are
drugs.
They train them to sniff out one certain drug and they'll bypass the other drug. And
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Seriously, at airports and stuff? It was this pretty cool cop show or whatever a while back. Yeah. But they trained him to sniff out just cocaine.
Really?
Just cocaine. Guy had heroin in a bag, pot in a bag, and cocaine in a bag.
I
and
see.
They
They're
all
like,
went walking around and stuff, and the dog just sat there and watched and blah, blah, blah.
And went and to then, the right one.
Yep, went right to the cocaine one. Yeah.
I guess, they all give off distinct smells. It would just be a matter of training the dog which is which, and then to associate the command with which scent, you want the dog
Bird
to 35 follow.
Bird 35 says they use them at large accidents, like earthquake, building collapses.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I guess I never really thought about it like that. I always thought they were looking for just living people, not I didn't know you could train them to smell dead bodies, too. I guess you can train them to smell anything.
Yeah.
You could be like, here's my ball sweat, and then I'll go, hi, and they'll be like, okay, now go find the ball sweat, and they'll, find you. That makes sense. They had to come back with the cadaver dogs and protective equipment for a second search of the home.
I totally named my dog Cadaver.
My cadaver dog?
I'm gonna cadaver.
A body was found near the front door. They searched on their own and couldn't find it, and the body was there by the front door the whole time. Just, there was so much shit
in
there. That blows my mind that people live like that.
I really want to get...
And you wonder why I get on your case when I'm like, will you please help me and take out the fucking trash once in a while? I don't want trash 7 feet high in here. That's all.
This makes me want to get a cat and name it Cadaver.
We can name our cat Cadaver. Cadaver Kitty.
No!
You're not
kitty.
One cat law, bro.
Can we have a dog?
One animal.
A little
rule.
Dog?
No. Fuck no. I don't want any dogs, actually.
A dog that'll hump kitty?
As fun as that sounds, no. The police identified the woman as Karina DiOcampo. Jacksonville Sheriff Sergeant Rick Hike described the conditions inside as deplorable. Disgusting. How can humans live that way? That was me. The house is in total disarray. It appears that's the way the house always is. Hike said. The cousin said she became a recluse after retiring as a psychiatrist with the Florida Department of Corrections. Ooh. Our most fucked up state, and she was the psychiatrist that worked in the jail.
Ooh.
That's fucked up, man. I could maybe see why you would just become a recluse. You're like, man, people fucking suck.
I have lost my faith in the mankind.
Yeah, and everything.
Oh.
Yeah, dreadful driver says, fuck pets, too much.
What was her name?
Shit, piss, and trouble in general. I fully agree. I'll have the cat and that's it. Her name was Karina DiOcampo. DiOcampo. And Nacho says, yeah, I watched a 9/11 documentary, and they said they'd have to have somebody pretend to be hurt so the dogs could find something living, because all the death would burn the dogs out. I could see that. This story just kind of goes on. Hoarding is a disorder, says Elizabeth Hammond, a professional organizer that is familiar with this particular mental illness. It's a form of OCD. Hammond said it can appear from the outside that hoarders are living normal lives, but they don't let anyone inside their home so they can hide the fact that they save everything, even garbage. Mm. Coke bottles, any kind of trash, they can't get rid of it because it reminds them of something. That's so crazy, dude. It's
that's
like
so
a
weird.
Mental illness that you just can't throw
like
shit away.
This tissue totally reminds me of 5 minutes ago when I blew my nose, and I need to keep that.
Like, man, that is so sentimental. And parents are like that. My mom was like that. When me and my brother were growing up, everything we brought home from school, she kept. Like,
yeah,
not with trash,
my mom did
but
too.
That's a form of it because it's, you know, it's your children growing up and stuff. Nowadays, we have digital cameras and we can just snap fucking pictures, but...
Well, no, like, if I had a kid, you know, if ever...
If I had a kid, I would document the fuck out of that little fucker
well, yeah.
growing up, but that's just
well,
me,
that's
you
just
know?
So they could look back on it and see all this crazy shit. Like, especially with those little things, like, you know, you doodle or draw or paint or whatever in class... And then you bring it home to your parents. Like, I would make a photo album flipbook thing out of that, you know? Just
yeah.
to, like, show my kids all the cool stuff
and
they did.
Definitely, I wish I had some of that stuff from when I was
yeah,
younger.
Me too,
because
dude.
It is cool to go back when you're, you know, almost 30 and be like, holy shit, this is the first story or the first poem or whatever I wrote when I was in first grade.
Dude,
you
I
know?
Remember the first shit I started drawing when I was a kid before I even got into art class and stuff. My dad was like, holy crap, you can draw. You're only how old? Wait.
Yeah. Like, it is kind of cool, but, like, I can see how it can easily get way the fuck out of control.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the city code enforcement personnel have condemned the house, of course. She was a good person, she just lost it because she was a shrink in our most fucked up state in the correctional facility. So.
That's so great.
Yeah. Oh, well, shit happens, I guess, huh?
Yeah, my cousin was born in Jacksonville, she doesn't live there, she lived there for a little while, but that was it.
Yeah.
Now she lives in Sarasota.
Sarasota.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, you got anything else before we call it a night here?
No. Other than the fact that I'm extremely nervous about the surgery.
Yeah, you'll be fine. I am too, and I'll be fine. I know
that. They have to go all the way up in my shit, and they said at the least I'll be out 2 weeks.
Yeah. Just think, for you, just think of the good drugs you'll get. That's all.
I told my mom straight up, I was like, look, you're going to be there, and when I wake up, I'm going to be kind of out of it, so don't you let them prescribe me fucking Lortab 5s. She's like, what
that
do you mean?
Girl.
I'm like, you fucking make them prescribe me either Dilaudids?
Shit.
Or...
Look at you with Dilaudids. You want to OD? Good. Do it.
That's what they used to prescribe me when they thought I had Crohn's disease.
Wow.
They used
hydromorphone, that's the balm.
No, they prescribed
shit.
Me Dilaudid 400 count bottles.
Wow.
No kidding.
I used
like
to bang
months.
Like 10 Dilaudid 8s at a time.
The only thing that sucked, though, is I had to...
I mean, I'm not proud of that. I'm just, you know, saying.
Yeah, they would kind of... They would make me really nauseous, though.
I'm a little proud of them.
They would make me really nauseous, though. But, no, dude. I know every fucking time I go into the doctor office or whatever, they always try to prescribe me, like... Percocet 5s or Lortab 5s or something small and tiny like that. I have to look at it and be like, no,
I knew
give
enough.
Me something good, please.
I always used to study the PDRs, the physician desk reference.
Uh-huh.
So I knew enough to get them to prescribe me what I wanted. I'd be like, I'm allergic to acetaminophen, which instantly rules out Lortabs, Percocets, anything with APAP in it, acetaminophen, which would make them have to go with either... An oxycodone, or a Dilaudid of some sort, or morphine, which I would say morphine didn't sit well with me. So I would steer them into what I wanted, which looking back on that now, I wish I wouldn't have because, you know, I wasted a lot of my life with that shit. But if it came down to it and someone tried to kill me by overdosing me, wouldn't happen.
I know.
And that's sad, but...
But the thing is, though, it's just because of, I guess, what I look like. You know, I'm a girl or whatever.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, I've never had anything really serious either, though. So I'm wondering if they'll actually prescribe me real stuff instead of just crap.
We'll see, won't we?
Yeah.
All right, well, I hope you guys enjoyed the show. We've enjoyed talking with you all. Thank you guys so much for being with us. Hope you all learned something tonight. Oh, please, 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 thejamhole.com/250, buy the 250 video, it's up now,
it's funny.
It is out.
I laughed
it's
at myself.
Awesome, it is so awesome, watch the trailer on thejamhole.com/250, watch the trailer, buy it, it's $5 through our store, $6.25 through Lulu, Either way, we get $5. Actually, if you get it through our store, we get like $4.70 because PayPal has to take theirs, of course. But it's not the $1.25 that Lulu takes. And MDS downloaded it from our site, and he said it is about as fast as Lulu's. And that was one of my concerns because our web server, you know, serves up the site, the live show, all that shit. So
Fahrenheit 404, the Lulu version did not work for me.
Really? That's weird. The Lulu version, we've had two people buy that so far.
Houston,
and
we have a problem.
For them. So, all right, well, looks like I have some fixing to do, but all right. Thank you guys so much. TheJamHole.com email us, info@TheJamHole.com. You can always leave us voicemails, 406-204-4687, or we got all that shit. Facebook's MySpace, all that.
You
so
follow
check
me
it
on
out.
Twitter. Blah, blah,
it's
blah.
At TheJamHole.com. So, yeah, we'll talk to you guys on Wednesday. Holla.
Bye.
You are listening to The Jam Hole. The Jam Hole. TheJamHole.com.